don't persevere. Don't press on. If you don't press on, if you don't persevere, you will be immature. You know why? You know why? When you don't press on, you quit.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host. Happy to be with you today. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. And Pastor Mark, you've been taking us through the book of Philippians in a series called Joy is a Choice. What a challenging thought. And today is the second half of a message called The Keys to Unstoppable Growth in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 21. And in the second half here of this message, you're going to talk to us about what Paul says about following his example and how that's one of the keys for our unstoppable growth. And I wanted to ask you, you know, who are some of the examples in your life that you are focused on that help you to continue to grow?
You know, I've read so many biographies over the years, Joshua, of missionaries, of evangelists, and I'm always challenged by people like Hudson Taylor, people like Livingston, people, missionaries that sacrificed and went to places where they knew that they would be maybe even laying down their lives, but they were doing it for a greater cause. And I look at some of the lives of these people that have inspired me, and I say, wow, I have a long way to go. But ultimately, when I look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, he's the one that inspires me to keep going. But the Apostle Paul here is really challenging us. Hey, look at his example. The example that I've had to look more closely at than anyone before was my father, who was a missionary in Spain, planted churches. And I don't remember him ever saying to me, Mark, hey, follow my example. But because of his character and the godliness that I saw, I grew up wanting to follow his example in many ways in my life.
Yeah, we need that. I mean, it's amazing that Paul didn't just say, hey, follow Christ. He said, you know, you can see me. I'm here in the flesh. We need that, don't we?
We do. We need the flesh and blood. I can touch them and talk to them kind of examples. And some of you that are listening to me today have people that are following you, looking up to you. There's fathers here whose sons and daughters are saying, is this how you live your life in Christ? There are leaders, youth group leaders, and others as well. So I want to challenge you. Remember, you are the people that are pointing those that are following you to Jesus the most.
That's real good, Pastor Mark. Thank you for that. And to encourage us on that journey, this is the second half of Keys to Unstoppable Growth in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21.
Have you ever seen a runner in Olympics run? And the race is really hot. They're really neck to neck. You see their muscles rippling, sweat dripping down their forehead. In slow motion, you see their cheeks kind of going up and down. They're running and they're racing. And then it comes right to the end, right? And I know at the end they don't like turn around, see where everybody else is going, right? They don't run in straight, right? I've seen them. When they run in, they strain which way?
Forward.
Putting their chest forward. Why? Because as soon as their body hits the tape, the first one to go through gets the prize. And so Paul is giving that image. These are runners going forward and they break through the tape. That's the way I want you to live your life. I want you to look ahead. Have you ever noticed in your car that the rear view mirror is really small compared to your windshield looking forward? Imagine the reverse. Imagine if your rear view mirror was the windshield and looking forward was that small. We'd have a lot of accidents. But some of us live our life that way. We're looking to the past. And if you try to drive looking to the past, you're going to steer off. You're going to go off course. Oh, yeah, we got to look to the past and celebrate what God has done. But you can't look at the past and get stuck there. You have to look forward. What is God doing in my life? What is God accomplishing now? Where is God taking me? What is God doing? I press forward. I strain forward because God is doing something in my life. He says, I press on. What's he press on towards? The same verse, same expression here in verse 14. is the expression, the same word that he used in verse 12. I press forward. It's that hunting word. I press on towards what? Towards the goal. What goal? Hey, I'm pressing on towards the goal to win the prize. The prize? Yeah. The prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul is running not like an aimless man. He says, man, at the end there's a goal. There's a prize. There's a race going on here. So, well, Pastor, what's he talking about? What prize? What goal? Everybody likes a prize, right? Everybody likes a goal. Some of you have torn through that cereal box and spread cereal all over because it said on the outside, prize inside. And you get a little ball, a 20 cents ball, but you're so happy you got a prize. It doesn't matter. You got the prize. What's the prize? The prize is the ultimate glorification and transformation of our lives. You see, it starts when we're born again. We're born again to the image of Jesus. But from now until the day you die, God is working in your life to change you. What are you being changed into? The image of Jesus. God is working on your soul and your heart and your attitude, and you're being changed and transformed. And one day, the Bible says, one day you will stand before God and you will give an account for your life. And one day you will be glorified and changed and transformed. You are going towards that goal to receive the prize of well done, good and faithful servant. And he says, I love what he says in verse 15. He says, all of us who are mature, that means people that are grown up spiritually, people that have, not that are perfect, but that are beyond the baby stages, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. In other words, if you're mature, you need to view life this way. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. I love that. If you're mature, you're going to think this way. If you have a different opinion, that means you're not mature, and just pray that God will give you enlightenment so you'll be mature. Paul is saying there's no other way of thinking about it but this way. You know what he's saying to us? He's basically telling us this thing. He's saying, and then he says in verse 16, only live, let us live up to what we have already attained. You know what he's telling us? That the biggest way to keep immature, the way that you stay in a state of perpetual immaturity is this. Don't persevere. Don't press on. If you don't press on, if you don't persevere, you will be immature. You know why? When you don't press on, you quit. How many of you started taking piano lessons, guitar lessons, trumpet lessons, or an instrument when you were a kid? Raise your hand. Come on, come on. Yeah, just a semester, a week. Okay, how many of you still play? Okay, we got a couple. You know why we start and quit? Because we have to practice. And practice is work. And most of us, when it comes to work, we don't want to. It gets hard, we quit. Kids start high school. They get into high school, they realize I got to do homework. I got to show up for school. I got projects. And so they quit. We start a business or a job and it gets hard and we quit. Marriage is that way sometimes. It gets difficult, it's hard, we quit. We start in our Christian life and we think, hey, everything's going good now. I feel like I found new joy. I feel like I found God. And then you got to take some hard steps in your life, tough decisions, and it gets hard and you say, you quit. And you know what happens when you quit? You are relegated to a perpetual state of immaturity, because people that do not persevere have to repeat the same cycle over and over, and that is the straight path to immaturity. And Paul says, hey, there's no other way to maturity. Let me tell you this, God isn't going to give you a magical dust to make you mature. Some of us are waiting for that lightning strike from heaven to make us spiritual. Well, when such and such evangelist comes in town and he prays over me, man, I'm going to have a breakthrough. Well, when revival strikes, man, then I'm really going to be on fire for God. I'm going to do a four-day fast, and on a four-day fast, God's going to touch my heart, and I'm really going to change. God can touch us when we're stuck to get a breakthrough. But let me tell you, maturity has to do with the daily grind of pressing forward. And so Paul says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Paul says, hey, you've gotten so far, don't backslide. You've climbed up so far, now don't slip back. This summer I was in up in Michigan with my kids near a lake, and there was this big inflatable device that said King of the Mountain. You had to it was really hard to climb up and slippery. You had to get to the top without slipping back. The whole thing was designed to make it hard to get to. And I was climbing up there, and by the time you just got to the top, you'd slip back or fall in the water. The whole concept that Paul is saying is, hey, if you reach here, hang on. Because it's very easy to slide back and slip back in these areas. So if you've attained this far, make sure that you're not sliding back to the way you were. How many of you know if you just get in neutral, it's easy to slide back? If you're not making progress forward, let me tell you, then you're slipping back. How you doing? Well, you know, I'm okay. Are you growing? Well, I wouldn't say I'm growing. Where are you at? I'm just kind of standing still. No, you're not. If you're in neutral, you're slipping back. I'm still coming to church. You know. I haven't got back to my old habits. Okay, so I show up late on Sunday and leave early. Hey, maybe I don't go to home group anymore like I used to. I mean, I was really into it, but you know, I got things in life. Okay, maybe I'm not into the Bible like I was before, but you know, it's a season, it's a phase. Hey, yeah, okay, so I don't spend a half hour every day in prayer. I mean, come on. Only nuns and monks do that, right? I mean, I'm okay. Keep telling yourself that. Because if you slip into neutral, I'm going to tell you, you won't stay in neutral very long before you start slipping back. Progress forward leads to maturity. The Apostle Paul goes on and he says, not only that, if you thought that was enough, let me tell you something else.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our message called Keys to Unstoppable Growth, which is from our series called Joy is a Choice. Straight Talk is a radio ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago, where Pastor Mark Jobe is the senior pastor. At the end of today's program, I'll tell you more about New Life and how to get a free copy of this Straight Talk message. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians chapter 3 in verses 12 through 21. Pastor Mark's message, the keys to unstoppable growth.
Not only do you go to the next level by pressing forward, but you go to the next level by following the example of those ahead of you. Look at what he says in verse 17. Join with others in following my example. Whose example? Who's he talking about? Paul. And does that sound conceited or what? I think we've gotten so into the hyper-spiritual mode that it seems almost bold or almost prideful or almost wrong for Paul to say, hey, look at me and follow my example. I say, well, that's not right. My bracelet says, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Not WWPD, what would Paul do? But let me tell you, if you're going to grow forward, sometimes we need a physical example that we can see, touch, hug, and talk to. How about it? I mean, you can look at your kids and you say, well, kids, let's just be like Jesus. But you know, Jesus doesn't tuck them in. Jesus doesn't sit at the table and feed them dinner. Who they see is mom and dad. I don't think you're getting off the hook by saying, just be like Jesus, not be like dad. You should be able to say, hey, be like Jesus and be like dad who's trying to be like Jesus. You're not off the hook by saying, okay, kids, you know, just don't follow my example. You know, don't smoke, I said. It's bad for you. Son, could you go give me another pack of at the hardware store? You're not getting off the hook that way. That's not the way you do it. You don't tell your kids, be like Jesus, don't follow my example, because kids see you, they don't see Jesus. Well, Paul is saying, follow my example. Paul is bold enough to say, follow my example. And hey, by the way, it's not the first time he said it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He also says in 1 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17, therefore I urge you, imitate me. Wow, Paul, that's pretty bold of you to say. Yeah, hey, we need examples. We need people that are confident enough in their spiritual life that they can say to others, watch me. Now, that doesn't mean perfection, because when someone blows it, we should be able to watch them say, forgive me because I was wrong, right? But I think, hey, you want to grow, you want to go to the next level. Some of you have no idea what it means to be married because you've never seen a healthy marriage. Can I tell you what to do? Find a good, healthy marriage and watch them. Hang out with them. You say, man, I'm new. I'm a new believer. I really don't know how. Hey, get around people that have their act together, that love God and have walked in God. Watch them. Hang out with them. Look at them. Be their friends. Learn what it means to be a godly man or woman. You say, well, I don't know how to date. You know, in the world when we used to date, it was two or three pickup lines. 3 days later, we were sleeping together, and that's how we did it. But now I'm in God, and I'm not supposed to do it that way. How do I do it? Hey, find a couple that's doing it right, that's doing it God's way. And go hang out with them a little bit. Talk to them. Watch them. Because one of the ways we grow is by watching people that are a little further down the line than we are. How about it? And Paul is saying, hey, Paul is saying, watch me. Paul is not afraid to say, watch the way I do it. I'm going to tell you the truth. When I first started in years ago, when I was 17, 18, I started to teach Bible studies and lead and start to dabble in ministry. And even when I became a pastor at the age of 21, I felt like, wow, I'm weighing over my head. And I'm going to tell you, if I had a bracelet to wear, it would be WWDD. That means, what would Dad do? Because I had seen my father pray and minister and preach and teach and work with people. And I would find myself in a situation dealing with a married couple. I was 21. They were 40-some years old, married, getting a divorce. And I'm like, they're going to this 21-year-old kid to try to figure things out. And I would say, okay, if Dad were here, I've seen Dad do this before. What would he do? Well, Pastor, that's unspiritual. You should have said, what would Jesus do? You know what? It was easier to say, what would Dad do? And what I'm saying in your life, you need examples. People that are following Jesus. People that you see Jesus in. We're talking about pressing forward. How to go forward in life. Some of you don't know how to pray. Get around people that know how to pray. Some of you have been in that circle at your small group. And they say, okay, well, everybody's going to pray. And they start over there. And next one. And you're counting, okay, it's two people over. It's going to be my turn. You're hyperventilating. People think you're under conviction. You're just nervous because you have to pray out loud. Now I lay myself down to sleep. Lord, I pray that you keep me. Okay, thank you, Lord, for this food that we're about to receive. No, those won't work. You're getting all nervous because you don't know how to pray. You want to learn how to pray? Get around people that pray out loud. I don't know how to pray. Join the intercessors group over there. During service, there's people praying. Hang out for an hour with people praying. You're going to learn how to do it. So, Paul says, hey, follow my example. But hey, listen, don't follow the example too close, because sometimes there's good examples and bad examples. You can't imitate everything. Take what is good and leave what is bad behind. I read a story recently of President Calvin Coolidge, one of the presidents of the United States, and he invited some friends from his hometown to dine with them at the White House. Well, his friends were unsure of table manners. They had never been in such a fancy setting. So they determined what we're going to do is we're just going to watch him. And whatever he does, we're going to do. So when he picked up that fork, they picked it up. When he put a little sugar in, they would put a little sugar in. They just figured we'll be safe watching him. Now, everything was going good until Coolidge poured some coffee in his saucer. They poured a little coffee in their saucer. Then he added a little cream, and they added a little cream. And then the president bent over and put his saucer on the floor for the cat. So you can't follow every single thing. You follow what's good and leave the bad out of it. Number three, and my final point. He says, notice what he says. Follow my example, for I've often told you, verse 18, you before now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And he's saying, you know, there's good examples and there's bad examples. And he says, there's a lot of bad examples out there. There's some people that are enemies of the cross. What do you mean? That they're anti-Christ? No. They're living a life that's anti the cross. Now, how do we know who he's talking about? Well, he describes them, and I would describe these people as libertines. These are not the same religious people that he was talking about before. These are another group of people that believe that as long as you had a spiritual experience, it didn't matter how you would live your life out or what you did with your body. The Gnostics believe this way. And listen to what he says, verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. In other words, whatever fleshly appetite they have, they pursue it. They want to get high, they get high. They want to have sex this week, and they have sex this week. And they want to cheat on their wife, they cheat on their wife. And their bottom line is, if it feels good, do it. They have a sticker that says that. That's their philosophy of life. But there are also people that claim to be religious, and they're the kind that say, hey, I had an experience with God. I'm not legalistic. It doesn't matter what I do with my body, as long as I have faith. Paul is saying, whoa. He says, and their glory is their shame. The very things they glory about doing, it's their shame. And their mind is on earthly things. Their mind is not on spiritual things. Their mind is on earthly things. And Paul says this. Paul is warning them about that example. And it leads to his third point. His third point is this. Not only does he tell us earlier on that we need to get to the next level by pressing on towards our calling. And then he warns us that we are to go to the next level by following the example of people ahead of us. But lastly, he closes with this. You get to the next level by understanding your spiritual destiny. Notice what he says in verse 20. But our citizenship, I mean, these guys hang out with an earthly mentality. Our citizenship is in heaven. What do you mean? I mean, I thought I was an American. No? First of all, your citizenship is in heaven. That means that you operate by the heavenly rules. You have a patriotism that exceeds your earthly patriotism. It's your heavenly patriotism. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, don't a lot of things have to happen before Jesus Christ comes again? The Bible talks about the imminent return of Christ. Let me tell you, don't wait for a temple to be built. Don't wait for some antichrist to emerge. Don't wait for a global economy to happen. Jesus could come at any moment. It's the imminent return of Christ.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago, and this was the second half of his message called Keys to Unstoppable Growth, which is from his series called Joy is a Choice. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.